The opening Rashi in Parsha Tazria comments on the second pasuk. The Torah begins by Dabar Hashem al Moshe Lemar, Dabar b'nei Yisrael Lemar, Isha ki Sazria v'yalda Zachar, v'tam'a shevas yamim, kimei nidas devosa titma. Torah tells us about the tumah of a woman after she gives birth to a boy. And Rashi quotes a medrash of Vayikra Rabbah, Amar Rav Simlai, Kishem sheyitziraso shel Adam achar kol behema chaya v'ov b'masa bereshis. Just after Adam Harishon was created, after all the behemos, the chayos and the ofos, the entire animal kingdom, which had been created on the fifth day and part of the sixth day, and only then was Adam created. So too, kach toraso nitzparsha achar toras behema chaya v'ov. So too, the Torah of people was explained in Chumash Vayikra only after the Torah of a Behema Chayav Yov. You have the Torah of Behema and Chayav Yov in Parsha Shmini, and only once we finish that, we have the Torah here in Parsha Tazria and the Torah. So why is it that Adam was created last, after the Behema Chayav Yov? So the simplest understanding, simplest explanation might be that Adam, which was the peak, human beings are the peak of Ruchnius, the peak of spirituality, right? Not like the animal kingdom. So that comes last. And therefore here too, we move up the level of Ruchnius. In Parsha Shmini, we talk about the Torah of Behema Chaya B'Ofos. And here we talk about the Torah of Adam. Now, what exactly is the Torah of Behema Chaya B'Ofos that we talked about in last week's Parsha? And now we're switching to talk in this week's Parsha. So last week's Parsha, we talked about the animals that you're allowed to eat and not allowed to eat. But that doesn't really flow into this week's parsha. We don't exactly talk about the people we're allowed to eat and the people we're not allowed to eat. So presumably what it's talking about is something else. And that is, in last week's parsha, in addition to talking about the animals that we're allowed to eat and not allowed to eat, we also talk about the tumah that's generated by animals. For instance, we say towards the end of the parsha, so it talks about the tumah, but there's something fascinating in the difference between the tumah in the animal kingdom and the tumah in the human kingdom. It's the human kingdom and the world of humans. Animals become tameh only in one state, and that is they're not alive. A living animal can't be tameh. Now, we might say that a horse is a behema tameh and you're not allowed to eat it. But while a horse is alive, it's not tameh. It can't be eaten. A carcass of a horse, a dead horse, can transmit tumah. But a live animal can't become tameh. And in the world of humans, it's very different. The very opening halacha is a woman who gives birth becomes tameh, tmeyah. She's alive, and she's tmeyah. Most of the parsha deals with tzara'at. Live human beings can have tumat tzara'at. You go into Parshas Metzora, and we talk about a nida, and a zava, and a zav. Live human beings can become tameh. We jump ahead to Parshas Chukas, which we read just yesterday in Parshas Para, and a person who's alive comes into contact with a dead body, that person who's alive becomes tameh. So why is it that humans can become tameh who are alive, and animals are only tameh once they're dead? And the answer seems to be that when a person is on a higher spiritual level, or a creature is on a higher spiritual level, they are more susceptible to the world of Tumah. When you're on a low level, when you're basically a Gashmi being, but only a Gashmi being, only physical, like in the animal world, so only if you're dead can there be Tumah. But if you're a being that's Ruchani, you're a human being, so you're more susceptible to Tumah in that case. And therefore, even live people can be Tameh, come Tameh in many different ways. A Yoledes, a Mitzora, a Nida, a Zava, a Zav, somebody's Metameh to Metin. Because after they're on a higher spiritual level, they're more susceptible to Tumah. Now, much of these dinim of Tumah v'tahara don't have practical ramifications bizmaneinu. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash, we don't have Kabbanos, so we're not eating Truma. Yes, the halachas, obviously, of a married woman and a nida, but much of these halachas don't have halacha l'maisa ramifications nowadays. But I think there's a very important message that we can discern from these halachas. If you're on a higher spiritual level, you have to be more careful about the tumah. Approximately 8 months ago, you arrived, maybe a little bit less, you arrived here in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim Yirat Kodesh, in MMY. And I would venture to say that hopefully over the last 8 months, none of you are precisely the same that you were when you first came. You came here to Eretz Yisrael in order to not only enjoy the Avira Deretz Yisrael, but to grow with the Avira Deretz Yisrael. And I think every person here, some more, some less, some in some ways, some in many ways, has changed and grown in the area of Ruchnius for the better. You're not quite the same person when you first came, and hopefully not. Our whole lives we should be looking to grow. Which means that you've enhanced your ruchnius. The spiritual aspect of your being has improved, has grown in the last 8 months. But that also tells us that he or she who grows spiritually is more susceptible to tumah. And therefore you have to be more careful, more protective of that ruchnius, to prevent yourself from being exposed and harmed by the tumah. Beginning next week, some even maybe this, the end of this week, I'm going to be taking a little bit of a break. And many of you, MMY is entering Ben Azmanim, many of you are going to be going to Chutz Laaretz one way or another. And certainly not spending your days here in as usual in the Beis Medrash. But you have to realize that certain things that you engaged in up until 8 months ago, which you may have not found to be so harmful, now you're a different person. You're on a higher Ruchani level. And the harm that may be generated, or the effect of those things which were apparently less harmless then, may be more harmful now. The method of entertainment that you engaged in up until 8 months ago, that you did in your leisure time, may have seemed so perfectly normal, like just what everybody else is doing. You didn't sense any to get a sense that it was being harmful. It's everybody does it. But you're not who you were 8 months ago. And exposing yourself to things that you've refrained from being exposed to for the last two-thirds of a year can take its toll on your ruchnius. Where you go, what you watch, what you see, what you read, what you listen to. It affects us. And they have a more detrimental effect to all the growth that you've undergone than it had before you came. And you may not have a chavera. There are certain types of behavior that you had that you thought were a mabakach. They weren't really anything to be concerned about. Now you know that you have to take onas dvarim seriously. That lashon hara isn't something that only the Chafetz Chaim was needed to be careful about. That emes and sheker is what makes the world grow or collapse, exist or collapse. But you can't engage in Genevas Das, how to avoid machlokas. Your whole interaction with others, so it has to be on a different level. And you have to be so careful to protect everything that you've achieved. Doesn't mean you have to hide in a cocoon, have to lock yourself in your rooms. But it means you have to be on the lookout. You have to be careful what you engage in, how you engage, and be prepared to protect everything that you've gained over these years, over these months. The story is told that sometime in the late 1800s, early 1900s, there were a group of maskilim who were interested in modernizing Yiddishkeit. And they knew that it wasn't going to be easy. They had already made inroads. But they thought if they can get one of the religious leaders in Europe to sign on, that might help them advance their plans at a greater pace. So they set their eyes on the famous Parshan, the famous commentator of Tanakh, the Malbim. The Malbim was a great Gaon, one of the greatest Gaonim in Europe. But he was also somebody who had acquired worldly knowledge. And the Maskilim thought that maybe he's somebody who might be willing to listen to what they had to say. So a group of Maskilim came to the Malbim one day and they had a meeting with him. They said to him, Rabbi, you know, we're at the end of the 19th century, entering the 20th century. It's time to get rid of some of the old-fashioned ideas that exist in Judaism. We got to modernize Judaism. We got to bring things up to date. The world is moving quickly. You know that. So what do you say? Maybe we should get rid of some of the old-fashioned, really bring things up to date, modernize Yiddishkeit. The Malbim listened to them, and he said, I agree with you 100%. I think we have to get rid of the old-fashioned ideas, and we have to modernize Yiddishkeit. Maskilim was surprised. They didn't think it was going to be so easy. Talked for him for 10, 15 minutes, and already he agrees. Wow! I couldn't believe it. But the Malbim said, there's just one thing. Yes, Rabbi. What is it? What is it? Just one thing. He says, what you guys represent is the old-fashioned ways. I'm the modern person. I'm the up-to-date person. Maskilim looked at the way they were dressed. They looked at the way the Malbim was dressed. They didn't understand. What exactly do you mean, Rabbi? He says, I'll tell you, we're getting close to Pesach. And in the Haggadah, we say the following. Mitchila ovdei avodah zaro hayu avoseinu. Va'achshav kervanu hamakam lavadaso. The old-fashioned ways were the ways of Terach, the old Avodah Zarah. The modern ways, the Akshav, that was Har Sinai, Matan Torah. You guys want to turn the clock back to the pre-Avram Avinu days, to go back to Terach, to go back to pre-Matan Torah. I think those are the ideas that we have to get rid of. You have to get rid of the old-fashioned ideas. We need to modernize it, bring it up to date. V'achshav, right now, kevona makom lavadaso. Anything that can increase our avodas Hashem, that's the modern way. That's what we need to do. None of you came in to MMY 8 months ago. Chas v'shalom is ovdei avodas zarah. You all came in as very fine young women. But right now, you're more than fine. You're refined young women. And if that's the case, there's no need to turn the clock back on Friday. But you shouldn't turn the clock back on everything that you've achieved. Achshav kervanu hamakom lavodaso. Think about everything you've accomplished. In your avodas Hashem, in your shemayim, in your shmiras hamitzvos, in your midos, in your bein adam lachaver, in your bein adam lamakom. Look at all of the modernization that's happened with you, and how much kervanu hamakom lavodasa. Don't turn the clock back. Keep what you've had, what you've achieved, and build on it. And bezus Hashem. If you do that, if you remember va'achshav kervanu hamakom lavodaso, and as David HaMelech said, kirvas elukim li tov, there's nothing as good as that sense of closeness to the Ribono Shel Olam. And bezus Hashem, you together with all of us and Am Yisrael will have a chag kosher v'sameach, when the ikar simcha that a person knows is usmachtim lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. When you take the Ribono Shel Olam with you, wherever you're going to be traveling over the next month, when you take him with you, and you sameach lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, there's no greater simcha.